A dream can be anything, whether yours is to start a business, be in a healthy relationship, pursue your dream career, or to get right spiritually. Every week, the Dream Check podcast brings you advice, encouragement, and real-life insight from people who are living their dreams to the fullest. I'm Nicole Ivanoff, an established international wedding photographer, a wife, a dog mom, coffee enthusiast, but most famously known for my sweatsuit collection. Like you, I have so many dreams, some of which I've lived out and others I'm still pursuing daily. I'm a girl from suburban Detroit who's made her way out to LA, and although I'm no guru, I have a heart to empower, activate, and sharpen those dreams that may be lying dormant in your life. If I or anyone who comes on this podcast can do it, so can you. Welcome to the show, time to check in. What's up, friends, and welcome back to the Dream Check podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Ivanoff. If you are new to the show, you picked a great episode because today I'm interviewing my husband, Nico Ivanoff. I know we have pretty much the same name. It makes it real easy. Nico was my very first guest on the show, and I cannot believe we're over 50 episodes in and I haven't had him back yet. To be fair, we have. I think this was our fourth attempt at recording the same episode. The devil was really trying us, but this time around, I guess fourth time was a charm. Nico and I answer Q&A, basically questions over the last couple months that people have asked us on Instagram. We get really deep talking about, I guess you guys will just have to listen and find out because there are so many deep questions. We might have to do a part two, but it's always my honor to get to interview him and always so fun. So if you guys want to get to know a little bit about my husband, a little bit about us, you guys will love this episode. Let's welcome Nico to the show. Today's episode is going to be so fun because I have my husband Nico on the show today. And this is like our fourth, I think it's our fourth time.
Third's a charm.
I think it's our fourth because didn't we do one in our house once?
Yeah.
Or
and
two.
Then one here. One at the house, one here. This is the third.
Okay.
But we've done four because we had a successful one actually go live.
So this is our third time trying to record this episode. And so we're just standing in belief that the timing was supposed to be now and not any of those other times. And believing that we're going to say something that's really going to help someone because clearly the enemy did not want us to put out this episode.
Amen. Let's go.
All right. So for anyone who maybe doesn't know you because you haven't been on the podcast since the very first episode.
And look at that growth. Dream Check Podcast is absolutely killing it. Not surprised, though. You are my wife, but to brag on you for a second, everything you do touches, everything you touch turns to gold. And so I'm excited and honored to be back.
Thanks, babe. Well, I'm honored to have you. So let's have you give a little introduction of who you are.
I, first and foremost, am Nicole's husband.
It's a good first and foremost.
Yeah. What do I start with?
Where are you from?
Where I'm from? I am from Albuquerque, New Mexico. I've been living in LA for the last 8 years. LA is now home. I'm Nicole's husband. I run my own business called Knox Media.
Yeah, everyone, the number one question I get about you is, what does Nico do? So maybe just let's clear the air with that one. What does Nico do?
What does Nico do? I am super blessed because I honestly get to live my dream. I'm building a business alongside a great guy in New York named Matt. It's called Knox Media, and we are an all-encompassing marketing agency specifically tailored to digital and socials, content creation, all of those things. We work primarily in the talent space, music and brands is who we work with the most. So I do that, but I also manage music artists outside of that and kind of alongside that, and I get to have a lot of fun.
I love it. Now maybe you can share kind of your, I wouldn't say your upbringing, but like you didn't grow up in church. So I feel like most people when they come and talk about faith and we're answering questions about God and faith and our walk together, people would assume that we grew up that way. So how did you grow up? Just to give the listeners a little background.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico with a single mom, the best mom ever, but did not grow up in church. Ended up getting saved when I was 21-ish, when I was at the University of New Mexico. I came to God through dance. I had this great guy, his name is Trey Pickett, who came into my life.
I always forget that you dance.
Yeah. This guy named Trey Pickett was the artistic director of the dance company I was in, and he was just a great guy and talked to me about Jesus. And I started going to church and got saved shortly thereafter.
And then shortly after that, you felt called to move to LA.
Yeah.
To pursue dance and also help build the church we go to now.
Yeah, I mean, basically, so I had actually got saved in my home church in Albuquerque, New Mexico, which at the time was called Copper Point Church. Now it's called Citizen Church. But I got saved. Pastor Chad came and preached at this thing called the Intersect, which was like an intersect between young adults and youth. And it was like a 3-day kind of conference. Him, Rich Wilkerson Jr., a couple other pastors, they came and preached. And I got saved when Pastor Chad had preached. And my life was pretty much, you know, obviously never been the same. Everything changed from that point on. And a couple years later, I was graduating college and I went up to my pastor and I was like, hey, here's an invitation to my college graduation. And then he was like, do you want a job or what are you doing? And I was like, do I want a job? I was like, nah. Well, I mean, first off, that was like crazy and unexpected. But second off, like, I was just like, no, I'm going to move to LA because it's just everything that I'm looking for. Entertainment wise, obviously I was doing the dance stuff, worked in music, love fashion. I just wanted to be in LA. I wanted to get out of Albuquerque. And I remember the last thing I said was, it's also a money market for my degree. And he hit me with the super pastoral thing. And he was like, well, what about a God market? And then
so
he like kind of, but he like kind of cracked a smile knowing it was like, you know, he was being funny, but serious. And that night we went to dinner and we had prayed about that specifically. And then of all the pastors in the world to announce that they were moving to LA, of all the times in the world for me to see it, literally when we were sitting at that dinner, Pastor Chad posted the Zoe graphic. And I was like, what is this? And obviously my pastor back home at the time knew that I got saved at that message that Chad preached. And he was like, that's confirmation of your calling. Mm-hmm. And a month later, I was living in LA.
And here we are.
And praise
then
God.
We ended up meeting at Zoe.
Praise God.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So we'll dive into these questions. Some are old, some are new. These questions, you guys, this is how long we've been trying to record this episode. These questions are from October 25th, 2021.
Not real.
There's some new ones too, but they're really good questions. So we're still going to answer some of them. But
so pumped.
I got to ask you the first question I ask everyone, which is, what is a dream that you have right now?
What is a dream that I have right now? Two major dreams that I have right now. Number one.
I already know what he's
going to
say.
Yeah, I want to make you a baby mama. I want to get you pregnant. I want to have babies. I want to start a family. I think that's really like my biggest dream right now is to become a father. Obviously, I've mentioned earlier a couple of times, and you know this, but I grew up with a single mom. I think I will become unlocked in so many different ways, and I just can't wait to build that family with you, but I'm excited to be a dad. Mm. To the point where it almost chokes me up, even just then. I had to like stop for a second.
He's going to cry more than I am, I think.
I had to like stop for a second for that. So I think that's a huge dream of mine right now. And another dream of mine, which I'm really excited for, is the scholarship fund that, you know, for kids in Albuquerque public schools back home. And that's becoming reality more and more every day. So starting that scholarship fund, getting it going and giving money to kids who grew up or growing up in the city that I grew up in.
Which was your dream when we recorded the first episode at our apartment. Yeah. And that was 2021, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now it's like reality.
Kind of happening, yeah.
Yeah, and now we're going, I'll be there in a few weeks and start giving out that money.
I love it.
Amen.
Okay, so we'll just go right into it because I feel like there's so many that we're not going to have time to answer everything. So I feel like you and I can both kind of share based on the questions. The first one is, which is so good from my friend Ivy. What is one thing you wish you could show your pre-Jesus self?
One thing that I wish I could show my pre-Jesus self, I would say just my life right now. Mm. I really believe in that saying that miracles are built on the arc of testimony. And if I could see where my life is now, pre-Jesus, and know that like, hey, you made the decision to follow God, and this is what your life looks like now. I mean, I would have never believed it in a million years, you know, because the fact that when I look at so many of these different turning points or what I get to do, or even getting to sit here in this room right now with you, my wife, there's no question to me that God's hand has been all over it. And so if I can sit here and say that now, I know pre-Jesus Nico would look at that and be like, there's no, there, it would literally have to be supernatural and divine. Mm-hmm. And then I'd be like, yeah, and it is.
Yeah, that's really good. I think I would say, which is sad, but I was just kind of pondering in my head, like things that I maybe struggled with before I was a Christian, which was just not feeling lovable. And so I think I would say, you actually are lovable and deserving of the love you actually desire.
Amen.
We'll just leave it at that.
And you so are. And I'm so glad I get to be the...
Thanks, babe.
The man over here.
Okay. How to not overwork yourself and make time for things that matter.
How to not overwork yourself.
This is a great question for us.
It is a great question for us. Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go?
You go first because... I like to piggyback off of the great things that you say.
Oh, thanks. I think like it comes down to discipline and health. And a lot of people talk about a work-life balance. I recently have abandoned ship on balance. I'm not really big on balance. I'm more so big on health and taking into account and auditing where my health's at with everything. Where's the health of my marriage? Where's the health of my... like my work, where's the health of me? Where's my mental health? Where's my physical health? And making sure that I'm balancing out those most important things, like Colin Henderson would say, is like, hey, these are the most important things in my day that I need to get done to maintain health here, 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 and here. And that helps me stay healthy and equally prioritized across the things that really matter to me.
Yeah, I think you're really good at prioritizing things that matter. I think for me, this past couple months of like not shooting weddings is the first time that I've actually like taken a rest and really like, I mean, I've done stuff, but like really have done a lot less than I normally would be doing. And it is like my first like nature to overwork, or it is like a default of mine. Like even... I'm trying to think of an example. I just think we're both such workaholics, and I don't mean that in like a negative way, but we do have such a strong work ethic that there's always something we could be doing. And so it is really difficult to like shut off work because work does matter and we all are called to work and work well, I think. But at the end of the day, what does matter most is your relationships. And so I think that was all kind of put into perspective for me in the last like 3 months. And I feel like it will forever be a work in progress for me. So.
Yeah, I mean, me too.
Still working on it.
Yeah, it's been cool to watch you prioritize that and just seeing the different areas that you've grown in your life in this off season where you're able to prioritize other things. It's cool.
Yeah, it's been a really interesting season for me.
Yeah.
But it's coming to an end this weekend.
Well, I think you're going to carry that momentum into this wedding season.
Yeah, I think that's the hope. And I also like, obviously we've talked about this, but I feel like God works in such mysterious ways because I obviously, you know, like I took off these 3 months because I thought that we were going to either be 8-9 months pregnant or have a baby by now. And God is just so funny. And he's like, I'm going to give you this time to rest because you genuinely don't know what rest is. And I just like can picture God laughing like, you need this time to rest to prepare for the season of motherhood and what that is going to be like. And so, yeah, I think that really helps switch my perspective of instead of being mad that I turned down all this work for these 3 months, really just embracing the rest season.
Amen. So good.
How do you keep, this kind of like piggybacks off that question, but how do you keep a balance with work and date nights?
I mean, I just think we like to date each other.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, one of us is typically saying like we should do something.
Yeah. And you're much better at it than I am.
Well, I love to date you. Not saying that you don't love to date me, obviously. I know you do, but I also kind of don't even leave a lot of room for you to have to say it. My goal in life would, one of them is to be like, I never want my wife to be like, so are you going to date me? You know? So I'm always trying to like consistently pursue and be like, let's do this or let's do that.
Yeah. And I think because I'm so used to you doing that I never do it because I've never really had to.
Yeah.
But that's a good thing.
Yeah, no, it's a great thing. But the other thing is like you're excited to do it and get ready and all of the things. So you're just as much part of it. It's not like you're, you know, just like, oh, I guess, you know.
I think it's more less about like a date night can literally be just planned intentional time to stay home and watch a movie, yeah. which we do often. Like, let's go on a date on Saturday. And I'll be like, I don't really feel like going anywhere. Let's rent a movie and stay home, mm-hmm. which is just intentional time together.
Yeah, I mean, I think you that's so well said. Just intimate, intentional time together. Yeah,
so good. What are ways to speak life over your partner without them feeling judged or criticized?
Do you want me to just go first?
I'm trying to think of go first.
Say the question again.
What are ways to speak life over your partner without them feeling judged or criticized?
I think if you're speaking life, they're not going to feel judged or criticized. It's not like I'm, you know, calling out things that like I'm believing you're going to get like better at, you know? Yeah. I think one of the things that I caution myself with is like not trying to put too much burden on you of like over expectation, because I do talk you up a lot. And it's not that I'm talking you up. I'm declaring what I know. Mm-hmm. You know, things I often say, you're beautiful inside and out. You're the most special woman that has ever been created. You're a voice of a generation. You know, you're a leader. Women from all different ages look to you and listen to you, and you have X, Y, and Z, and I go on. Or even stuff with your work that I've declared to friends or people where I'm like, she's going to be the top five wedding photographer in the world in the next 2 to 3 years, no matter what. And now it's on the podcast, so we'll be able to listen to it. But being cautious of like not trying to make you feel pressured to be that, but just declaring that's who you are. But also, like, I know you understand that it's grace and love and me just speaking who you are. And I don't know, I just think if you're genuinely speaking life over somebody, I've just not really encountered a scenario where you spoke life over me and I felt judged or criticized.
Yeah, maybe they meant like ways to hold you accountable for something without you feeling like, for example, your dad, like, you've talked about this on the episode before, but like a boundary that you set with him, I'm holding you accountable to that without like judging you or trying to criticize you when maybe you're like, oh, should I call him? Should I do this? Should I do that? You know? And an example, I don't want you to feel like you're doing the wrong thing or you're being criticized by me. And oh, I'm, you know what? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot. That definitely makes sense. I mean, it's exactly that, though. It's like you're coming from a place of grace and love.
Yeah.
And I feel that as opposed to being like, you know, you're weak and blah, blah, blah. It's like, babe, hey, you can do it if you want. And I'm going to be here for you no matter what. But just understand that you call him and we're back into it.
Yeah.
And showing both sides, you know, being able to just call it what it is on both sides. And I see it. You know, you're speaking life over me. You're actually just trying to protect me.
Yeah, I was going to say it's like covering each other's blind spots because you're not seeing what I'm seeing because you're so emotionally invested in something. And likewise, you would do the same for me. And I think it all just comes down to you have to approach it from a place of love and not criticism or judgment.
Yeah, 100%. And your significant other, your partner is going to feel that 100%. Yeah.
That's good. Is the one a biblical concept? How do you know if one is called to marriage or singleness? That might be a good one for a hard faith question, another episode.
It's definitely a good one for a hard faith episode. Can you repeat it?
The question is the one a biblical concept? How to know if one is called to marriage or singleness?
I mean, personally, I think that we all are called to something specific. Now, if you decide to walk down that line or not is your choice. Mm. And I do not believe, with that said, that like, oh, that was the one that you were supposed to marry. And if you don't make that choice, that like now all of a sudden, you know, you're never going to be married or you're just, what if God's going to close the door on blessings?
Yeah.
I don't believe that per se, but also, I mean, a good example is people that were in relationships break up and years later end up married either way.
Yeah.
God's going to find a way to bless you and to have you go down the route of your calling one way or another.
Yeah.
I mean, his strategy and his plan is always divine. So for somebody to say like, am I called eternally to singleness or to be married? I mean, all over the Bible, God talks about people being together in marriage and husbands loving their wives and leaving their families to, you know, cling to their spouse. And so I just, I don't believe that that would be in the word if it was like, you know, otherwise.
Yeah, I also think how to know if you're called to marriage or singleness, only you can know that, like on your journey and walk with God. Like, are you partnering in God in that? Are you praying about it? Like, we can never know that answer for a specific person.
Correct.
You know, but that was a good answer. Okay, here's a good one. Biggest expectation versus reality in marriage. Why are you smiling so big?
I think...
You're cackling.
I think every man has the biggest expectation. Are you saying biggest expectation versus reality?
Yeah, it says, what is your biggest expectation versus reality in marriage from both of our perspectives?
Yeah, I mean, the reason why I'm smiling is because I think, and we just talked about this the other day because Pastor Rich Wilkerson and Don Cherie were speaking about it. Men have such an expectation of like sex and what that's going to be like. And it's like everyday thing, which is
not realistic.
Not realistic. It's so far like from what the truth is. Obviously, there is intimacy and that is a reality, but it's not the reality that it's going to be all the time. 24/7, like the jokes that you tell with your friends as a guy on the way up. And so the reality of intimacy is not just sex and how there is like the emotional side and the listening and the all of these other things that go into intimacy with your significant other is the reality. And even further to that, a big reality and like thing that I've learned and grown in is because I am so solution oriented, and when I'm listening to you or I think there's a problem, I try to solve it where I don't need to solve it. Sometimes I can show you that I love you and be intimate with you by listening to you and just listening without having to have
a solution
or something to say. And that's, you know, something I've had to learn and grow in.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I wouldn't say that's like a struggle. I would just say your nature, like you're a problem solver. Like you don't like arguing. You want to solve the problem immediately and you want a solution to everything. But as like a female, sometimes we don't want solutions. We just want someone to listen and honestly, sometimes not even speak, you know?
Yeah.
But no, that was really good that the expectation was intimacy is only sex and sex all the time. But actual reality is intimacy is not just sex. It's other ways of being close with your partner.
Yeah.
I would say for me, the biggest expectation, which something I was excited for was, you know, when you marry the one that you believe is from God, that they're going to make you better and they're going to help you get to your calling. And all those things are true. But I think I expected that to be like, so fun and easy. And I think the reality is like iron sharpening iron actually hurts. And like, not like a, like you're hurting me way, but in like a growing, changing, evolving way that isn't easy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's friction.
Yeah.
And you know, the pruning is not always fun.
No, it's literally never fun.
But that's how we grow.
I think that the expectation is this person's going to make me better and therefore I'm going to be better and it's going to be easy and fun and we're going to do it together. When the reality of marriage is it's a mirror to all your flaws and insecurities and having to actually change, not just for you, but your one and change for your partner and for the health of your marriage is literally like one of the hardest things I think I've ever gone through.
Let's go. We got the rest of our lives to keep going through.
Sharpen each other. That was a good question.
Yeah, that was.
How do you know when somebody is the one? I want to answer this because like four people asked it. I think that love is a choice. And knowing someone is the one from God, I think, is there will be peace with it and there will be God confirmations. Like, I don't think if you're not hearing from God, first of all, like how could you know if someone is the one? Like you have to be going into it prayerfully.
Yeah.
And there will be confirmations on both ends. Like God is not going to tell the person you're dating something different than they're telling you.
Yeah, facts.
If they're the one from God, he's not going to have you on different paths and different tracks. And so I think that A, love is a choice, and B, knowing they're the one is just coming from God confirmations, like repeatedly, like you can't deny that it's from God. And yeah, it's so cheesy, but like you don't know until you know, like it's just, that is true.
Yeah, 100%. And that was true when I met you.
Yeah.
And further to that, like, the God confirmations for me specifically were, I knew that I couldn't do it without him. Like, mm-hmm, I wanted to date you and pursue you and marry you. And I knew that to get to that level, I would need him on a completely mm-hmm different level than I ever needed him before. And I would pray, like, God, just, like, let me... Because, I mean, you're gorgeous. And, you know, and when I met you, I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, she is so beautiful. But I was... I say it like, you know, hear my heart in a kind of a crazy way. It was like literally never top of mind for me. Whereas when I look at you, I'm like, well, she literally, if I could close my eyes and be like, God, construct my dream woman, it would be you. But in our whole dating process, I really asked God to let me have an appetite and crave what you crave. And let me be strong in ways that I've never been strong, and give me supernatural strength to be the man that this woman needs. Mm. And dating you, I think that, you know, we've talked about that a lot, is just, I was abundantly clear that God showed up so many times in that. Like, I never felt like, oh, worried about like, oh, are we going to be able to make it till marriage or anything like that. You know, I always knew, because God's hand was just so on. And that's like one microcosm of a confirmation, but it's like a very tangible and easy way that I can look at it and be like, well, he gave me strength legit where I needed it.
Yeah.
And didn't, you know, think that that I would be able to get it without him.
Yeah, I think like kind of what you're getting to is like, God is going to speak to you and to me and to whoever is waiting or wanting to know if someone is the one. God is going to speak to you the same thing that he's speaking to them, and is going to tell you, for example, I think I've told this story in a different episode, but when Nico and I first started talking, I was back home in Michigan. We had literally been texting. We went on like 4 dates and we were FaceTiming for like 2 weeks or something. And I was in my living room with family, and someone in my family said something to me that really hurt my feelings. And essentially they alluded to me not being a nurturing person. And actually that's exactly what they said. And I was so hurt and upset by it. And literally out of the blue, you texted me and you were like, hey, just want to let you know, I think you're the most amazing, nurturing, caring, like, woman ever. And I was like, okay, like that was like the weirdest, like, God confirmation of like, a lie was spoken to me and God used you to speak truth over it. And you would have, how could you have ever known that?
Yeah.
Obviously, like I didn't, it had just happened. And I probably would have been too uncomfortable to even tell you that.
Yeah.
But God spoke to you and you were hearing from God so clearly that was obviously, that moment made it so evident to me, like, he's clearly hearing from God, because this was, could only be a moment from God for you to speak that truth over such a lie. And so, yeah, did we answer that?
I think so.
Question?
I think so.
Something someone else was asking, which you kind of were hinting at, how did we wait until marriage? And I don't know if, I've definitely shared stuff on the podcast before, but we were the first, like, you were the first person, I was the first person you dated that you hadn't slept with, correct?
Well, not in like my entire life, but...
But in your serious relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in any serious relationship I was in before we met, same. And so I think I had not had sex for like a year, maybe a little over a year before we met. But I think, like you said, like God graced us for each other and gave you, like, first of all, God knew that I needed someone to lead me in that area. And you had this like supernatural strength and grace from God to lead me in an area that you have not led in before. For example, like a story that's so funny is we were like, his apartment had like a pool and a hot tub, and we were going in the hot tub one night, and I like, he accidentally, like as we're getting in, like touched my hip and I was like, didn't even think anything of it. And he was like, couldn't even make eye contact with me. He was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And I was like, it's my hip, like relax. But you can speak on it. But I think you just felt so, you didn't want me to feel that you were like.
Yeah, I mean, I just never wanted you to feel like I was after you for your body.
Yeah.
You know, even before you had told me that that's something that you had felt in the past from other people, mm-hmm. like that was their, you know, focus. I just, without even having had that conversation, like you said, I felt like God told, like, I just knew.
Yeah.
And even beyond like knowing it specific to you, I just always wanted to make it clear that I was more about you than anything else.
Mm.
And that, yes, you're beautiful on the outside, but I'm way more interested in what's going on inside your heart and your mind and your spirit than I am, you know, what's going on with you physically. And yeah, that was, I remember literally like you leaving and me being like, oh, I'm so sorry I touched your hip. Like, what is going on? Like, and then almost like that Jim Carrey moment in Liar Liar where he just keeps repeating mm-hmm. his lie. Like, I'm like brushing my teeth and I'm like, sorry I touched your hip. Laying down in bed, sorry I touched your hip. Like, ridiculous. But guys, it just took a lot of prayer. A lot of prayer, hard nights of prayer. That's what got me through.
Yeah, and I think that also goes back to, I think knowing when someone is the one for you is, I think that you were putting my purpose and my calling first.
Yeah.
In the pursuit of me, that I knew a part of me was gonna. I knew a part of me knew that I was gonna be called to lead women in an area of purity. How can I do that if I'm not practicing it in my own dating relationship and in my journey to marriage? And so you protecting that purpose of mine, which I think the person that you're dating should 100%, if you're dating for marriage, protecting your purpose, your calling, and what God has planned for you.
Yeah, like that was a legit prayer of mine is let me protect and propel mm-hmm. your calling. You know, oftentimes people are like, oh, well, this person's going to complete me. No, they're not. You know, you talk about that often. We've heard it said, is like this person compliments you. But Pastor Chad told me when I was young going to Zoe, like, hey, your wife is going to be your biggest lid or your biggest ladder.
Mm.
She's either going to take you so much further than you could have gone alone, or she's going to cap you from, you know, reaching what God has for you. I just took that to heart. It was such a real pastor moment and such a real thing that I took. And then the test when we started dating was when we started dating, and it was such a serious, when it was like serious enough for me to be like, okay,
mm-hmm.
I got to go to my pastor, our pastor.
Because I had been at that point serving for a couple of years.
Exactly. So, privately, I'm like to Pastor Chad and Julia, like, hey, so I'm dating Nicole. And they were just like, especially Chad was like, homie, what? He was like, bro, this is like the best decision. I love this. Like, that girl is a boss. She's next level.
Mm.
And I remember just being like, I was already sold, but his reaction, and you know how Pastor Chad is, like, yeah. Especially when, you know.
Well, and I think he plays such a father figure in your life as well.
Yeah, for sure.
The for stamp sure. of approval.
I mean, it's huge. It's and that, and honestly, I would say that to anybody is, you know, you have your wise counsel around mm-hmm. you. If you have your parents in your life, if you have, you know, great friends, you have your pastor. Like, these are people you should be talking to when mm-hmm. you start dating. And you're right. Pastor Chad does play a really huge role in my life, not only as my pastor, but as a kid without his, mm-hmm. his dad in his life and all of these things. He did so much. And so for him, as well as Pastor Julia, to really co-sign and be like, they were almost like shocked that I pulled you. And I was like, all right, guys, like, let's...
Relax.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I love when you tell that story. How do you stand firm on why Christians usually get married so quickly? They kind of rephrase it. How do you explain living separately and waiting until marriage? Why you two chose that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a couple of things. Number one, obviously our faith and where it's at. But number two, even if you look at statistically speaking for non-Christians, you know, the statistics behind marriage, and how success rates vary pretty extremely when you live with the person before versus when you mm-hmm. don't. And so kind of starting, like unpacking both of those, starting with us is like, number one, yeah, God gave me supernatural strength, you know, to not sleep with you before marriage, et cetera. Had we been living together for a year and a half, like, mm-hmm. I'm not trying to be in that sort of temptation because there is mm-hmm. that temptation. I'm not trying to play house with you either. And that kind of like almost builds into Christian or non-Christian. There is this almost how you would say it like an audition process mm-hmm. that now that's the foundation of your relationship is like, oh, well, I got to see. Like, homie, we ain't test driving cars out here. Mm. Like, this isn't like a, can you fill this role? And if you can, yeah. great. And if you cannot, then like, cool, I'll bounce and I'll figure out somebody else to fill this role. This is not an audition. When you're married, you're in. Mm-hmm. And especially for us, you know, we had said to each other beforehand and most, you know, people that we know would say the same thing. I don't think anyone gets married wanting to be divorced. Mm-hmm. But for us, it was a thing where it was like, this is a non-option.
Yeah.
And so one, I want to set ourselves up with as much strength in our foundation as we can. But two, with that audition process, it's like, that's the foundation that this thing is being built on, that you always have this back door, even if it's subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that too often we don't really pay attention to the things that are affecting our foundation as human beings, our subconscious level of thinking, what we're studying, how we're behaving. That's why I'm obsessed with these kind of topics and I'm constantly reading about them because human beings are just so interesting. Our psychology is so interesting. And I think that there is a really deep psychology to what happens when people are living together and playing house and doing a, you know, pretend marriage up until the point of marriage and how those things can affect when you run into conflict when you're married. Because you will run into conflict when you're married.
Yeah.
Especially if you're talking long game. I'm 30 now. We're going on 3 years of being married. What happens when you're 70, you know, 75, 80? Shoot, 120. No, I'm just...
I do not want to be 120.
I mean, who knows? But I'm just saying, when you're going on 40, 50, 60 years of marriage and all of the journey that goes into that, you got to be really conscientious of how you're building that foundation, Christian, non-Christian.
Yeah, I mean, I've done it both ways. Like, I've played house before, and it obviously did not work out. And I hear it and I see it so often. It's like, oh, we've been dating 7 years, living together 5. He still hasn't proposed, still not ready for the commitment. And I'm like, why would he?
Yeah, why would you?
He's getting all of the marriage benefits without the commitment. He can leave whenever he wants.
Have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah, and so I feel really passionately about the topic because I've done it both ways, and so I've seen it from both points of view, and just God's way is the best way. I mean, obviously, there are thriving relationships where they are Christians and they did live together, and certain circumstances obviously are different, and everyone has their own story, but I just think for us, that was best case scenario.
Correct. I mean, to echo you, it's not like we're saying it can't work otherwise. Yeah. This is why we chose it.
Yeah.
And this is the fruit of that choice.
And I do think it also goes back to our purpose and our calling and being able to speak on this topic and with authority.
Amen.
Here's a fun question.
I love a fun question.
So we can bring Rocky into the conversation. How has having Rocky changed your relationship together?
Do you want to go first or me?
I don't necessarily think it's changed. I think we've added in way more responsibility and we're kind of seeing like a snippet of like parenting roles a little bit. And also just there is that like you are keeping now something else in the house has to stay alive. And there's a responsibility to that of like, okay, well, if we're going to go away for the weekend, we have to get a sitter or we have to figure out Rocky's schedule and who's going to take care of him. And it's literally like a child except for they can stay in a crate. So in my opinion, that's one of the biggest differences. Both challenging.
Yeah. I mean, look, I've had a rocky relationship. No, I'm just kidding. But I've had this roller coaster.
Oh my gosh.
So stupid. I've had this roller coaster ride of like, let me just start by saying, not in my love for him. I'm obsessed with him. He's our little man. And I'm just, he's the most handsome man ever. But even though he's literally a puppy and a dog, like, you know,
he's
the cutest little man there is. The chew baby Moneno, as I like to call him. But I say it in a weird little voice that I'm not going to do on this podcast. But there were times where I was just like, this was a decision that I don't regret, but this is me trying to stay neutral with it. Like, I'm learning and growing, but like, do I really want to be learning and growing in this way right now? And then there's been other times where it's like, I mean, I was just out of town and I miss you and I miss him. Mm. Like, as you know, separately, I'm like, I miss Rocky. I just want to like go and pet him and play with him and all that kind of stuff. But I agree completely that it's been an addition. That's been a great learning process. And I am actually super thankful for it, because not having grown, like, I'm the youngest, not having to, you know, take care of younger siblings. Obviously, I've not been like a babysitter ever in my life. So kind of, you know, that experience doesn't really exist for me. Mm. And so now of having had this experience with Rocky, seeing a little bit of the parenting styles, like you said, a little snippet, having that extra layer of responsibility has been great. And I'm thankful for it, especially as we approach parenthood.
Yeah, I think overall, I think it's changed us in a good way. I think there definitely were challenging times, especially when he was like a baby. And obviously he has a disability, which has made things a little bit more complicated. It's harder to take him out like a normal dog. It's harder to like do things like if we had a dog without a disability. And so that makes it more challenging. But I think we've just like grown in patience and all these things that are good preparation for parenting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I think we'll do a couple more questions. This is a really great one from Courtney herself.
Ooh.
How do you navigate both having business spirits, entrepreneur spirits? And do you have any shared entrepreneur spirits together?
I mean, I think it's incredible, because I get to bounce ideas off you. You get to bounce ideas off me, whether that's how do I approach this conversation? What are your thoughts on this? Pricing, agreements. Yeah. This is what I do. This is what you've done. So I think that's great in a lot of different ways. It helps. I feel like we speak the same language too, because we're both entrepreneurs. Yes, we both run our own businesses, but there's a lot of like synergies because of the fact that you're a photographer and I work in social media content creation.
Yeah.
I work with a lot of photographers, videographers and things like that. So there's a lot of overlap, which is great. And, you know, understanding all of the nuance, which makes, I mean, I love it, because it's not like I'm coming home and speaking a completely different language. If I have something that's on my mind or bothering me or that I'm excited about, like you can understand it fully and celebrate it or diagnose it with like a legit sense of authority. And there's been times where I've gone to Matt and I'm like, Nicole would literally never do it for that price. Like, bro, if my wife would never, like, what are we doing? You know? And so I think that's great.
I think, like, when I think of navigating, I think there are pros and cons. I think that the blessing in that is, like you said, like, we speak the same language. Like, we can help each other out in certain business situations. We can bounce ideas off each other. You understand what I do. I understand what you do. And, like, we get it. I think the challenging part of it is when you're an entrepreneur and you have that spirit to constantly be building and making new things, that it's like the workaholic in us comes out, and like, there's always something to be doing. It's harder to unplug. And also, both, you know, having that spirit, it's like things do come up a lot as an entrepreneur. So there's a lot of last minute, like, well, I'm gone this weekend and now you just booked a job in Nashville. Now you're going to be gone next weekend. And it's like, it does get a little complicated in that sense. So at least for me personally, having to constantly remind myself, like, when, like, life gets in the way, it's like, okay, well, he's doing his dream. I have my dream, and like we just have to like balance that and know that this is like a season we're in right now. Like we don't have kids, and so we actually get to do this for now, you know?
Yeah, no, 100%. I think we're both definitely saying yes to a lot more now than we will in the future, just because life circumstances will be different. Mm-hmm. And while we don't have kids, like, yeah, the foot is on the gas as hard as it possibly can be, and I'm going to show up and be everywhere I can. Mm-hmm. So there is that. But then also, you know, like you said, it's a give and take. There's pros and cons to it. Mm-hmm. I think if I wasn't an entrepreneur or vice versa, and it was like, okay, she's living her dream, she got her foot on the gas, and I'm over here, you know, not in that same mindset, it would be harder.
There would be pros and cons to that as well.
Yeah, it would be harder for me to understand, like, oh, well, she's going to go and she's gone and, you know, whatever it may be. And then, there's that other, like, question in there of, like, are there entrepreneurial things together? I guess you'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, we are in the middle of a very exciting project that we cannot share yet, but who knows? It might not even be till the end of the year.
Well, whenever it comes.
But the answer is yes, we have dreams together in that area. Also, something that is so funny that, you know, I always said the person that I marry has to have the same work ethic as me and has to get it, because in the past, like, people I've dated, they didn't have that entrepreneurial spirit. And so it made things really challenging because they really couldn't understand why I was working as hard as I was working and the late hours and the building a business from scratch. And when someone doesn't get that, I think it would cause more tension than if someone did understand that. And so I think if you are someone who has like a strong work ethic, I mean, I think the person you're dating, no matter what, should have work ethic. I think that's important. But especially if it's something that like is like a passion in your heart, it should be from the other person to be able to understand it as well.
Yeah, I mean, for us, it's just we're running a very similar race, and it just makes it very easy for us to stay aligned in life in general.
That's good. Okay, last question.
Dang, I'm a little sad, I will say.
You can talk for ages.
I'll come back whenever you want. Oh, yeah.
Is there anything passed down from your parents that you don't want to pass down to your future kids? Oh. Nico's closing his eyes.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
And I say that with love and respect, by the way, especially for my mom. But yeah, there are things, and we've talked about this with friends. We've talked about it in premarital counseling. We've talked about it with our pastors. We're breaking generational curses. Mm-hmm. We are the transitional generation for the legacy of the Ivanov family and what it will be for generations to come. And so with that, there's a lot of friction. And it hurts, and it's sometimes saddening, and there's, you know, the excavating and digging up of traumas and things like that from, you know, both of our the way that we were raised, our childhood, and even into young adulthood. And so for me, you know, those things did have a big impact on me. Obviously, I didn't have my father in my life growing up. That in and of itself is already a big thing. Like, I can't wait to be a dad. I can't wait for what that's going to do for our children and their children and their children. You know, alcohol abuse, even in a functioning place, is very real. Alcoholism is very real. And I don't want that to be a part of our family and what we're building. And it's not. Mm-hmm. And that's a beautiful thing. And a lot of the other traumas and dramas that can come with both of those things just on my side alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot there.
Yeah, there's a lot on my end too. And again, everything with love and respect. And as I've gotten older and matured in this area, learning that our parents did the best they could with what they knew and with how they were brought up. And knowing that has really brought like a sense of healing to me in a lot of ways. There's still some hurt and stuff, but I'm sure my parents have hurt from their upbringing and how they were raised and things that unfortunately they weren't able to undo for whatever reason, which is why, you know, you say we are the transitional generation. But I do think there are things that I'm still working on now. Like, I didn't grow up in a family of, like, we don't hug and kiss and cuddle each other. Like, there's not a lot of, like, affection and emotion. We don't, like, say I love you often, or we're not like that, like, I don't know. I, like, cringe at that sometimes when I, like, go to my friend's house and they're, like, cuddling their parents on the couch or their mom. And I'm like, I just didn't have that type of relationship. And so something that I would love to have that bond with our future children, or be able to be vulnerable and share my feelings, because that wasn't really a thing for me growing up. And so just working through, again, going full circle back to the beginning, the iron sharpening iron, like, you're, for someone who grew up without a dad and a single mom, like, you are very emotionally stable and very, like, in tune with your emotions and very open, and you communicate, like, you are literally the opposite of, like, the stereotypical male. I feel like I'm the male in the, like, the stereotypical male in the relationship. That's, it's harder for me to communicate what I'm feeling. And it just comes from being raised 18 years without that example. And so, yeah, something that I'm definitely don't want to pass down is, like, the fear of vulnerability.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously, it's give and take on both sides of, like, us building that together,
yeah,
right? And what I mean by that specifically is there's times where, like, I need solution now. Like,
yeah,
I need to talk it out and figure it out now, because growing up without having my dad in the picture, or having my mom who's, like you said, doing the best she can with what she's got, I have needs. I want to play sports. I want to do these things. We're okay. Well, for her to keep the lights on and for me to do those things, where she got to be? Work.
Yeah.
So I'm alone a lot. And if I'm alone a lot and I've got these abandonment issues, then I got to talk a lot. Make sure people understand. Do you see me? Do you love me? Do you care about me? Can we figure this out? If you're upset, let's figure it out, so that way I don't have to be alone.
Mm.
And there's trauma and, like, perspectives of that aren't healthy as well, where,
yeah,
you know, on the other side, it's like there is stability in that, like, knowing that you're good either way,
mm-hmm,
you know? And so I guess what I'm trying to say is we're going to work together to make sure that we are indeed breaking those generational curses, that we are transitioning our family into what God has for us, and God, you know, where God is placing us. And I mean, you already know our kids are going to hear how great they are and how much I love them and how much you love them all the time. Because that's just, by the way, we wrote our family
mission
statement.
Oh, yeah, wait. People were asking about that.
Okay.
So speaking of that, I mean, we don't have to go too in depth, but when I did that post about the marriage retreat, people were asking, can you touch on that in a podcast episode? So maybe you can share, since it was all your idea, what the intent was from it and or for it, and a little breakdown, and then maybe we can share. Can we share our mission statement?
Sure. Okay. Here we go. The Ivanov family is faith-filled, God-centered, and led by grace. We exist to serve others with gladness and joy. We dream the undreamable and encourage our unique gift mixes and callings to build a better world. Everywhere we go, we bring peace and safety. Ivanovs have integrity and are known as protectors. We lead by example when it comes to generosity and what would Jesus do mentality. We view life as a celebration because we're thankful for who we are, what we have, and that God is in control. I almost cried reading that just now. I had to stop and play it off like I was doing
really
a
good
voice intonation, but I actually almost cried.
Do you want to share how we got to that moment?
Yeah, we got to that moment because, like I said earlier, I mean, I'm really big on just psychology and what we're speaking over ourselves. And again, I think, you know, Christian or non-Christian, you should understand that what the Bible says is true, in that the power of the tongue can speak life and death. I mean, the tongue has the power to speak life and death. And so what we're saying over ourselves matters a lot. And when I say Christian or non-Christian, if you don't believe in the Bible, if you don't believe in Jesus, well, you can still look that up. There's a lot of different psychological studies on labeling and priming and what you're doing to your mind and what you're saying and how that does affect who you are and what you become. So not to steal too many of Colin's lines, but speak what you seek. Thoughts become things. And so for me and for us, there's probably 7 different books that I've read that have talked about mission statements, personal mission statements, Read a book called Famous at Home. Great book. Highly recommend. Talks about family mission statements. And I just knew going into this year, you know, we're getting really intentional. Obviously, we're praying about it. We're trying to have kids. Well, I want to be prepared. I want to be ready. You know, what is the Ivanov family? Who are we? What do we stand for? What is that mission statement? So getting really intentional to craft that together, because there's so many of these cliche sayings of like, well, failing to plan is planning to fail. You know, I want to have a plan. Like, how are we going to execute being great parents? How are we going to, you know, teach our kids, you know, what it is that we're about? If we don't even know what we're about. No, we know what we're about. Because you and I, we drove up to Ojai. We spent some intentional time thinking about this, praying about this, going through exercises to craft this message that was very specific and true to us, mm-hmm. with revisions, like you had said, what, I don't know if I even have the final version.
Yeah.
Going through version after version to get to what feels good for us.
Yeah. And I, Nico had a, one of our friends from church, him and his wife did this. They had like a 4-session marriage retreat. And when Nico told them we were going away for the weekend to write a family mission statement and to have intentional time, he was like, oh man, you gotta, my wife and I did this. Let me send it to you. And we kind of like tweaked it a little and did our own little version. And it was like about a half day in total that we spent kind of going through the questions, our values, you know, what we want to be known for. It was like a ton of different questions that really set us up for the mission statement.
Yeah. I mean, and beyond even like crafting the mission statement and, you know, kind of the little actions that we took to get there, what was just so cool was like hearing from you, you know, getting even further into your mind, like of what do you want and what do you see and what do you mm-hmm. value? Although I know most of these things, it's just cool. Like, hey, we're going to, you know, really whittle this down to something really substantial. There's only like 5 or 6 sentences in this. What are those sentences? And to hear, you know, what you really place a premium on, hearing what your significant other, what your spouse places a premium on, is very insightful. And so it's not only for our future and having this mission statement that our kids will one day be able to reflect on and things like that, but even just for my right now with you. Is great. I feel like I know you better because of that trip, and that's the whole point. Spending that really, really intentional time to get to know you more, for you to get to know me more, have a blast doing it.
It was a blast. And I feel like that's one of the cool things about marriage is you're literally always getting to know each other.
Yeah.
More and more and more. Adding dogs, adding babies, you're only going to learn more.
That's right.
All right, I think we crushed that, babe.
I hope so.
Thanks for coming on, and third time's a charm.
Third time's a charm, let's go.
We'll have to have you back for a fourth time.
Do you have like a name for the dream check people?
The dream checkers?
The dream checkers?
No.
King me.
What? Like,
you know, like when you're playing checkers. It's stupid.
No, we don't. I just say, hey, friends.
Hey, friends. Bye, friends. Bye for now.
Thanks, babe. Now we're going to go have a date night.
Ooh, can't wait.
That you planned.
I did.
All right.
All right.